Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. If you stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5. If you're able, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And we're picking back up where we had left off just before Easter. And so now we are back to Hebrews, and we will pick this apart, because when you understand Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through around verse 18, then it makes sense of why the writer of Hebrews goes into the details of Melchizedek. And so they were not quite ready for these details, so he has to have a really long parenthesis to prepare their heart for some spiritual meat. And so that's what we're going to look at. And the title of the message is Eat Your Spiritual Spinach. And we'll look at what that means here in just a minute. So don't look for the word spinach in these verses, because you won't find them. Starting in verse 11, or let's start in verse 9 just to get the sentence complete. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say. He wants to talk about it. And hard to explain, he says, but it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles or sayings of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray this morning, Lord, that you would illuminate it and apply it directly to our heart. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us the Bible. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the truth. It's absolute truth from the very first verse to the very last verse. This is the infallible word of God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you remember the cartoon Popeye? Amen. Popeye was one of my heroes. Remember what Popeye, you know, he was married to a lady named, boy, I'll tell you, this is a cultured church right here. He was married to Olive Oil, and he had an enemy. His enemy was Brutus. And I mean, Brutus was always making life rough for Olive Oil and Popeye. Well, what was it that Popeye found his strength in?
Spinach.
Amen. When I was a kid, I ate my spinach because of Popeye. Put a little salt on it, and it's still good. And so I want to do something this morning just to make an illustration or an analogy of where we're headed. And so I'm going to need a little bit of your help. And you don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. But I will need your help, or this won't work. I'll have to get Jim Rout and Kevin to do this for me. So I do need your help. I want to ask three questions. The first one is this. Does anybody know what James 1:22 says? James 1:22. Mark? Amen. Abigail, I need your help. Since that was just a little bit choppy there, Mark, you get chopped Popeye spinach. Because it was a little choppy, but it was right. But it was a little choppy. So you get chopped spinach. Would you take that to Mr. Mark Ellis over there on the outside edge? You are the winner of a can of spinach. You can use it for a conversation piece also. It's got Popeye on it. All right. Next question. When the Bible speaks of the line of the tribe of Judah, who is that? Okay, who was that? Pam? You win a can of spinach. Abigail, will you take that to her? You've been eating your spiritual spinach. Yours is leaf. And so Pam is right over here, Abigail, right there. Now, I got one more can, and I need a kid to help me with this one. I need a child to help me. Do we have a child that can quote John 3:16? Do we have a child? Okay. Amen. I don't know if y'all heard her, but she got it perfect. Abigail, one more. You win a consolation prize, a can of spinach. So the picture there is this, that when Popeye, whatever he got in a bind and he was in a struggle, and it looked like it was the last moment that he wasn't going to make it, what would he do? He'd pop out a can of spinach. He'd pop that spinach open. He'd consume every bit of it, and all of a sudden his muscles would pop out. He'd go to slinging Brutus around. I mean, he had energy. He had power. That's what the Word of God is designed to do to the Christian. This is our spiritual spinach. And when we are in the Word, not just reading the Word, just to read the Word, but we are in the Word to hear from God, in the Word to learn His principles, in the Word to be changed and transformed and renewed by it, let me tell you what happens. What happens is your spiritual muscles go to popping out and you become strong in the power of His might, Ephesians 6:10. And so we find our strength in a messed up world. We find our strength in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit comes. Listen, you'll never have the Word feeding your soul that the Holy Spirit has not joined that, because the Word of God is living, and that's the way Jesus is manifested in our heart, is by the work of the Holy Spirit. So here we are in our outline as we get kicked off, and I'm going to have to move kind of quick through this, so be ready. First of all, what is the difference between milk and meat? What's the difference? First of all, milk is the first principles a new believer learns. That's on your outline. Milk is the first principles a new believer learns. So when you hear of people saying, you know, they're still on milk in the Word, or I'm still on milk in the Word, it's a picture of a new believer who understands the very elementary things, the very first principles, but those are great principles. He's not making light of the principles. The Bible's not saying those are lesser than, because those are literally our foundation of our faith. He's saying, but it's time to build on that slab. What if all of our houses were nothing but slabs? We just went out and poured a slab. Honey, we're moving in. This is your bedroom over here. The kitchen's going to be right over there, so let me get the grill, and we'll set it in the kitchen. And we just moved into our house, and it's nothing but a slab. Well, we wouldn't like that too much. We got to build a structure on that slab. And that's what we do with our faith. We get saved. Christ has laid a good foundation called milk. And what's in our milk foundation? What do we understand even at the most basics of a new believer? One of those first principles that we understand, by the way, you see that very phrase in verse 12. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," he doesn't mean Sunday school teachers and things like that right here. What he's saying is you ought to be able to teach others the Word of God. You ought to be able to run into somebody on the street, and you ought to be able to teach them from the Word of God about whatever they're dealing with or whatever they need at that moment. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you." And then he uses the word again, because some of these were Jews, and these Jews had been born again, and these Jews came to a place in their life where there was outward pressure, there was persecution, there was things happening. And so instead of growing in their faith, they stayed on milk. Now, just to illustrate that, I brought my baby bottle with me this morning. This is the bottle that I had when I was a baby. And still got some milk in it. I couldn't finish it all. But what if I walked around, or you walked around as a grown adult, and you walked around with a baby bottle all the time in your hand? What would people think? They would say, "Good night. You know, aren't you on solid food yet? Oh, you mean that's what these teeth are for? God gave us teeth so that we could eat." And so we have to move from a position of being on milk to a position of being on meat. And so what was happening is the writer of Hebrews wants to talk about a deep subject. And he mentions that subject in verse 10. But he has to wait until he gets to chapter 7 before he can discuss it, because he's like, y'all need some help. You're still on the first principles. By now you ought to be teaching these things I'm talking about. but you're not given discipline. You're not given time to the Word of God. You're not listening to the things that are being taught, that are being shared, and you've gotten lazy in the Word. And because of that, he's saying, really and truly, you're needing the milk again. He's saying you're needing it again, because he said that in the last part of verse 12, and you have come to need milk. They'd been milk at one time, and now they're back to milk and not solid food. Then he says in verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's not making light of that. Never take that wrong. What he's doing is he's saying the problem is you don't have discernment between good and evil. You don't have discernment in how to make good decisions and do the right thing. And the reason is you don't have the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against Him. The Word of God is a light unto our path. The Word of God guides our prayer life. The Word of God guides our faith. The Word of God guides our decisions. The Word of God is the engine, the steering wheel. We've got to have it. And he says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need these things that the Bible shares. Colton, look on the screen. I think there's a verse right after this. Listen to this verse. This is 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, are these verses. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but to as to carnal. Now, he's speaking to Christians right here, but he's saying I'm having to speak to you as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there are envy, this is the symptoms, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? That means the old nature. And so the first thing is the difference between milk. Milk is the first principles. It's the principles of Jesus is God. We learned that early, that we learned the principle of salvation by grace through faith, that he died on the cross for our sins, those foundational things, that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the believer. All of these things are the foundation. And so the next one is this. What is meat? Meat is the deep truths of Scripture. That's on your outline. Meat is the deep truths of Scripture. You know what's interesting? The Bible is like an onion. You've probably heard that before. You can study the Bible and study the Bible and study the Bible and still learn something new. It endures forever. The Bible is very deep. In fact, I tell Jim all the time, the more I learn the Bible and the more I learn about the Lord in the Bible, the dumber I feel. I mean, it's like, good night, Lord, you just keep... How many more onion peelings are there? Because this is an infinite, wise God that wrote the Bible, and he is able to use his living word to bring understandings that are very deep. Some of them are not as deep as others, but some are very deep. And we have to accept it by faith when we read it and when we see it. So meat is the deep truths. And he's saying, I need you on the deep truths. I need you to be there by now. Look at the screen again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Colton, I think it's right after that one. Thank you. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. We received the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That's powerful. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Have you ever been in the Word of God and you read a verse and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and you're like, I remember something. And you flip back to something in the Old Testament. Then you compare that with this and this with that. Before you know it, you're writing all these verses down and you're seeing how everything connects and attaches and how it works together. That's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's saying, you know what, Lord? I'm going to give time to hear from you so that I can live in a victorious life as a Christian in this world that we're living in. And so meat is the deep truths of Scripture. I'll give you two words. The first one, you've heard of orthodoxy or orthodox. Orthodoxy is correct learning. It's biblical learning that is truth. I always say, and it is true, and you believe it too, the Bible is absolute truth. It's not relative truth. It's absolute truth. We, regardless of what the culture says, regardless of what the world says, this is absolute truth. You can trust it, and you can take it to the bank, and we will be held accountable before God with what we do with His Word. And so the Bible is truth. It's not a good idea. I got it. Something fell on my feet. It's not a good idea. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. Now, he says in verse 14, he says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Now, that doesn't mean solid food is just for somebody that's 85 or 90 years old. What that means is you can be a full age and be a young person. You can be more mature in the Bible than a 90-year-old. You can be 22 years old and be more mature in Christ than somebody that's been saved since they were 15 and they're 90. Because our maturity in the Scriptures and our maturity in the Lord is based on our obedience and our love for the Lord and what we do with what we know and ingesting and digesting His Word. So growth is not based on age. Our growth is based on our devotion, what we give to the Lord and He can do through us. That's orthodoxy. That's correct learning. And as Mark quoted James 1:22 a while ago, remember 2 Timothy 3:16. Now listen to this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. He says it's profitable for doctrine, orthodoxy, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, how to live, that the man of God may be what? Complete, mature, complete, on meat, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That brings us to another word called orthopraxy. Orthopraxy is the practice of that correct learning. It means I'm going to put into practice what I've learned from the Scripture. Because if you just learn it, but you never put it into practice, your senses are not being exercised. And if your senses are not being exercised, you're going to make bad decisions, and you're going to wonder, God, where were you at? Now listen to the rest of the verse in verse 14. You'll see that. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's what the meat does. That's what full age does. That's what orthopraxy does. Put it into practice. Then secondly, there's this. How can I move from milk to meat? I think that's the key question. How do I move from milk to meat? For me, all it took was a ribeye on the grill. And I moved real quick from milk to meat. I still like meat. Still like steaks. Now, here's three principles I want to give you real quick. The first one is this. Dig into Scripture. Chew on it. It's on your outline. Chew on it. Ingest it and digest it. That's verse 14 of Hebrews. Chew on it. Ingest it and digest it. That means that you're ready for solid food. And this is how do you eat solid food? Do you drink solid food? Have you ever tried to drink a steak? It don't work. You got to chew on it. And you got to ingest it. One chew swallow at a time. I don't know how to word that. I'm trying for clarity. One chew swallow at a time. And as you do, what are you doing? A process starts. Digestion begins to take place. And so you ingest it and you digest it. You got to chew on it. You got to meditate on it. You got to think about it. And as you do, the Holy Spirit is right there. He's helping you. He's talking to you. He's speaking to you. He's telling you things. He's convicting of sin. He's convicting of this. He's convicting of that. He's affirming. He's encouraging. He's giving you a song in your heart. He's causing you to praise Him. He's doing all kinds of things in your heart. Why? Because you're chewing on His Word. You're ingesting it and you're digesting it. It may be one verse that God's put on your heart. And you're going to chew on that verse. It's like the big Texan steak. I think that's a 72-ounce steak. Isn't that what that is? 72? That's a big steak. We ought to go up there one day and see if we can eat it. The second one is this. Obey what you know. Obey what you know, rejoicing that Christ gets glory by your obedience. Obey what you know, rejoicing that Christ gets glory by your obedience. Colton, I think there's another verse 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I love this verse. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That's 2 Peter 3:18. Jesus Christ. Now watch this. I want you to see the connection here. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So be it. So grow in the grace, grow in the knowledge of who? Our Lord and our Savior, the one that died for us. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Messiah that was to come. To Him, to Jesus alone, be the glory. So whenever we are learning of grace and knowledge, we are to obey what God teaches us, and we do it in a spirit of, God, I want you to get the glory. Because if we do it in a spirit of, I want to get the glory, well, we just messed that all up because pride now has entered into it. So we want to obey the Lord for His glory. Now, there's a last one. Discover joy in the fullness of Christ. Discover joy in the fullness of Christ. So how do we move from milk to meat? Dig into Scripture, chew on it, ingest it, and digest it. Obey what you know, rejoicing that Christ gets glory by your obedience. And then thirdly, discover joy in the fullness of Christ. Did you know it's fun to be a Christian? I remember years ago, before I was a Christian, when I had drinking problems and everything else, my life was a complete wreck. I mean, it was a mess. Depression, everything you can possibly imagine. And I can remember one night I called my uncle, and he owned the plumbing business, and I called him up and I just told him how miserable I was. I told him I didn't even feel like living anymore, just in a really, really, really bad place. And he met me at the shop at 4:30 that morning. And I can remember he wasn't real good with counsel or what to say. He was a tough man, and he didn't know what to say, but he didn't know it. But what he told me helped me so much. Here's what he said. I sat down in that chair, and I was just a miserable wreck. And I said, Uncle Richard, I don't know what to do. I can't, my life is so out of whack. And he said, Bruce, it's a whole lot more fun to be a Christian. It's a whole lot more fun to be a Christian. I'll tell you, that was a lot of wisdom in that, because it is. There is a fullness of joy in the Lord, and Jesus wants us to experience that joy. It is a inner peace. It is a inner joy. Listen, we know, we've seen the end of the book. We know that we have a future. We know that we have a confidence. We know that we have a God that answers our prayers, that hears our prayers, and we know that we are already in the heavenly places. And we know that we can come to the throne of grace and mercy in time of need, and that He is there at that very moment. It can be in the worst situation in your life. You can be in the craziest place. You can be praying in a deer stand. You can be praying in your car. You can pray wherever you want to pray. And you can go straight with access, straight to the Father through the Son, who is the fullness of joy. And the Bible says that we have grace upon grace from His fullness. That is from His fullness. John 1:16, it's like a string of pearls, grace upon grace. It's like an infinite string of pearls, and that's the picture in the Greek, and you're just adding a pearl and another pearl and another pearl, but you can't never make the necklace. You know why? Because you cannot exhaust His grace. There's no end to it, because you cannot exhaust the grace of God. It's that powerful. So you ask yourself, what does that mean? Show Colossians 1:19, Colton. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father, watch this, that in Him all the fullness should dwell. You ask yourself, what is that fullness? I want some of it. It's everything of God. Everything. Everything you need, you can find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Literally everything. And that's where the fullness dwells. And you say, how can He do that? Let me explain it like this. Jesus was man, 100% man, but yet 100% God. He was Son of Man, but yet He was Son of God. Now, none of us can ever be that, because we're not God. But He could be the perfect man, which he was, sinless, the perfect man, pleased the Father in everything that he did. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, always pleasing the Father. Now think about this. Jesus was both Son of Man and Son of God. That's why he can get thirsty one minute, and the next minute he can go out and walk on water. Think about that. That's why he can get hungry one day, and the next day feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's why he can die on Friday and walk out of the tomb on Sunday. That's the Son of Man and the Son of God. He can be in a storm-tossed sea one minute, commanding the winds to be still the next. In other words, in everything in Christ is divine. Christ understands our shortcomings because he's lived in a human body. But at the same time, Christ understands his divine power because he also has God, because he is God residing in himself. He is God. He cannot deny himself. He can't lie because he can't deny himself. He is God. He can't deny it. He can't say, hey, I'm just like you. I'm not really God. He can't deny that. He says, I am God. He says, I've been in his presence. And that's why John is so important, the book of John. It's some good meat in John. And when you read in John chapter, that upper room discourse, start in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, hit the intercessory prayer, John chapter 17, go to his arrest, John chapter 18. And when you're reading in those that discourse of the upper room, 13 through 16, what are you discovering about God? His claims. You're discovering that Jesus claimed all these things. He's saying, you don't have this, and you're not experiencing this, and you're not experiencing the fullness of my joy because you're trying to live life without me. You're trying to make your decisions, and all your actions are being governed by yourself instead of letting me govern them through you. And when you let me govern your decisions through you, joy comes. Big smiles. Why? Because you know God's in control. He's in control. You can have, I'm dealing with this cancer situation. I call it that. It's a situation. God's got this. He's in control. I've got a peace in my heart. He's going to heal it one way or another. That's his business. My business is to trust that he'll do it and keep living for him. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm going to do. But it's the Lord's job to handle the rest. That's his business. He's divine. And we got to believe it, and we got to trust it, and we got to accept it, and we got to receive it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The key is you cannot exhaust the grace of God. You can't do it. I'm so glad he doesn't give us what we deserve. I'm so glad that he has grace. That he says, you know what? I could send you all to hell. He says, but in my love, before the foundation of the world, I already made a decision. There's going to be a way that I can show you mercy, rich love, mercy, and grace. And he did that at the cross. And so the same Savior that we have to receive for salvation is the same Savior that gives us guidance, that gives us discernment, that helps us to understand the Word, that gives us strength, gives us victory. And Lord, that's our desire this morning, is to walk in that victory. Lord, help us to dig into your Word. Help us to ingest it, to chew on it, ingest it, and digest it. Help us, Lord, to listen when your Word is being taught, when your Word is being preached. And don't make us dull of hearing, Lord. Help us to be excited about it. Father, use us. Use us as a church, Lord. Use us to win others to Jesus, to make a huge impact in this community, in this town, and Lord, even beyond, wherever you send us. God, we want to be used at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church for your glory, to reach others for Jesus Christ, to disciple people, and to help them to grow in the Lord. Lord, we all want to be able to share, meet, to be able to teach our friends and to help them to grow in the Lord that need help. That's our desire. Lord, do in our hearts what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd. Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.
We want to welcome our listening audience to the weekly services of Mount Sylvan Baptist Church near Lindale, Texas. It is our prayer that you will be encouraged and blessed by today's message by Brother Bruce Rudd.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you and God bless.